My name is Major Lancelot Sumner. I'm a Ngarangiri Kaurna man. I was born on Rauken. Everyone knows me as Mugi.
Ah, Uncle Mugi as well.
Uncle Mugi,
right?
Yeah.
It's really lovely to have you on the program today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for asking me.
How do you say hi in your languages? Hello.
Ngaliandu.
Ngaliandu. Sounds, my attempt at it probably was a bit Italian.
Yeah, it sounded like.
Oh, dear. Hey, congratulations on your achievement, the Premier's NAIDOC Award this year. What does that recognition mean to you?
It means a lot to me because being the Premier's award, but also connected with NAIDOC, to be recognised by, fair enough, recognised by the Premier and the government and that, but also recognised by my own people. That's something that means a lot to me because I've been doing a lot of cultural stuff for most of my life. And to be recognized now and that where people, that way you know that people's been watching you. People's been seeing what you've been doing, been taking notice to you. And just by getting that award means all of that. It's not just an award that, oh, it looks good, nice, you know, pretty little bit of glass, well, I'll put that in my cupboard. No, it's got more to do with that, more to do with life achievement, life struggle, life, and bringing our culture into today.
Yeah.
Making sure that it don't get lost.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a big risk of losing language, losing cultural practices.
But it's not just that. It's opening it up for other people to learn about us. Because I tell people, non-Aboriginal people, and it's not in an offensive way or anything like that. I say to them sometimes, I say, you know, I know all about you. I've studied you from when I was first went to school. I speak your language. You don't know about me. You don't know who I am, and yet you live in my country, and you don't know me. Come and learn about me, and be a part of my ceremonies, be a part of my dancing, the storytelling, the learn the stories about this land, the creation stories about the stars, about the rivers, the water. You know. You because wherever you come from, you're not going home there ever again because you live here. You wouldn't know where to go. So this is your country now, so learn about it.
And connection with land is really important to Aboriginal people, I understand.
Yeah, very important because we consider the land our mother and we all come from our mother. So, and we'll go back there one day.
And travel is really important to you, I understand.
You're
in the Coorong region, but you go to the south coast up through the hills and the Murray lands quite regularly.
For ceremonies, and we're doing the Ringbill and the river ceremony. We travel from, last time we done it was Albury-Wodonga, and we traveled all the way down to the Murray Mouth. We danced at different spots right down the Murray. And different groups, they welcome us into their country. And we do a respond to that. And then from there, we do our ceremonies, tell our stories. And then if they're not doing anything, they'll come with us to the next, and then the next and next. And we usually get a big group of dancers down at the Murray Mouth where we'll have a big ceremony the night we get there. And they're people from all along the river.
And where did you learn those dances? Was it growing up?
Growing up, yeah. I learned a lot of the stuff from growing up and the stories and that. And that was from my uncles. And the funny thing about it, I learned a lot of it in the shearing sheds.
Oh, really? How so?
My uncles worked in the shearing sheds, and I, as a young boy, I was working there with them. And at that time, there was laws in place that stopped Aboriginal people from going into town on the weekends. They weren't allowed to go into the pubs. They weren't allowed to drink alcohol. So we just stopped back at the shearer's quarters. And while we was there, we went and done a bit of carving. My uncle showed us what wood to get to make certain things like clubs and shields, boomerangs, spears, how to get the resin from the grass tree that grows around here, how to get the resin from that and mix it so that it makes glue. Mm. And all them things I learnt when I was about 13, 14, and then I carried that through my life. I put it on hold for a while as a young boy, teenagers, you know, and then later on you go back to it.
Mm.
But it's always been there.
Did it feel like a defiant act to embrace your culture during that time when there were laws against practicing things that were important to your culture?
No, it wasn't a defiance act. It was more of a act of not an act. It was like, we're not going to leave our culture back here. We'll bring it forward with us so that it travels with us into time, not leave it back in the past. Even though a lot of people say, you know, we're one of the most ancient tribes and people going in the world. But our culture is for modern day.
That's true. It's evolving.
Yeah.
Mm.
But some parts of our culture is used in today's technology. And people say, well, what's that? Well, you look at the boomerang. You look at the helicopter. The helicopter was designed by a man, a Ngarindiri man, by putting two little boomerangs together and spinning them, and they lifted.
Yeah.
And that was with Uncle David Yanipan.
A bit more credit where it's due deserved.
That's right. They called him Our Leonardo da Vinci, and that was in the Adelaide newspaper, and he developed that back in 1914. And then a couple of German people took that idea to Germany, and they developed the first helicopter from that idea.
Oh, there you go. And he's from the same region as you, isn't
he? He's
in
Ngarindiri. He's on the $50 note.
He is.
Yeah.
Now, you crafted the first Ngarindiri bark canoe in over 100 years in the southeast about 10 years ago. What was that experience like, and what motivated you to do it?
It was a good experience. What got me to do it was people asked me, was I able to carve a bark canoe? I said, yeah. I said, I haven't done one before, but I've done a lot of shields. And all it is that you carve a bigger shield. So it was about 14 foot.
Oh, wow.
And
that's a big shield.
Yeah, big shield. You don't want to be carrying that around all day. But it was an experience that was passed down to Cyril Trevorrow, because Cyril lives in Murray Bridge. I asked him to come and be a part of that so that I can hand that down. And the experience of being up there, taking that bark off that tree, it was like you was with the spirit of that tree.
Mm.
It was talking to you. You can, as you pull the wedges into the sides, you can hear like a breath of air coming from it when it lifted. And even before that, went and done the smoking ceremony around the tree, asking permission if we can take that bark off, asking permission from the spirit of that tree. So we went through all the ceremonial processes so that it's good for us and it's good for the tree.
Mm. Mm. Tell me about smoking ceremonies. What are their significance?
Well, when you look at smoke is used in cultures all around the world. It's a very powerful tool to take away negative energy, take away bad energy from an area, and bring good energy in by involving your ancestors. So smoke is used by all cultures. So when we use it sometimes when we go down camping, before we set our tents up, we'll go and smoke the whole area. because you don't know what happened in that area from the last time you camped to now. So we'll go and smoke that area, make sure that there's no negative energy there. And we'll ask our ancestors to come in and look after us while we sleep, while we in that place for the week or for a month. All depends how long we want to stay.
And do you know much about your ancestors? Has it been passed along?
There's information about our ancestors. It's been passed down when you talk about them, when we talk about different directions, where they come from, what's the tribal areas they live in. But also, when we die, our spirit goes down under the salt water and go and sit down on Kangaroo Island. And certain times of the year, you look across Kangaroo Island from Waipinga Beach, you can see like fires in the sky. And we believe that's the fires of our ancestors, inviting the spirits of the dead to come and sit with them.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I've traveled all over the world. I haven't been to Kangaroo Island yet.
Oh, really?
No. I'm not in a hurry to get there.
Okay.
Because when we go there, our spirit goes there. So that means that you've passed on.
Right.
So a lot of people don't like going there.
Because
not that they don't like going there, they don't want to go there yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Later on it's all
that
right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And sticking to the Fleurieu Peninsula, you also welcomed some whales recently.
Whales. Yeah, we've done at Port Elliot. And we welcome the whales, and not only just welcome the whales, me and my grandchildren, we got up and we danced. Well, they danced, I sang the songs, and as I sang the songs, I invited all the people that were sitting around to come and join my grandchildren to dance with them, so that the spirit of everyone there invite the whales to that area.
So you obviously grew up in a different world to your grandfather, and you have grandchildren now.
Yeah.
How do you feel about their future?
Well, a lot of my grandchildren, they involved in the dance group. One of my grandsons, before he was 5 years old, he was able to make his own club. They're learning. And they're carrying that knowledge. And a lot of the dancers, even, like I said, down at Port Elliot the other day, they was there dancing. They're telling the stories about the whale. Because we talk about different Ngarinyiri stories all the time. And I make sure that they know about what they're talking about. They know how to talk to people. They know how to tell a story. We're sitting down, getting ready. Not just go straight into it.
Mm.
You have to tell and make sure that people's comfortable.
Mm.
And invite them in. But also invite your ancestors to be there to look after them people as you're telling that story.
Mm. Yeah. And for anyone listening who's not Aboriginal or Indigenous and they'd like to engage more with the culture, what do you recommend?
You've got my number. They want to get involved, get them to call you, and you can call me, and we can get something going. Because before COVID, we came here every year doing the Ringbullen, dancing just down here at the down on the docks here.
Sturt Reserve?
Yeah, Sturt Reserve there. We go there, we do the river ceremony, and people, doesn't matter what culture you are, you're welcome.
Mm.
And you're welcome to learn. But also, you're welcome to come and dance with us. And you're welcome to follow us all the way up to the start of the Murray, all the way down. And by the time we get down to the Murray mouth, I guarantee that you'll be painted up and dancing with us.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio today. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. And it's good to talk about culture, talk about the stuff I'm doing, talk about my people, and talk about involving every other nation that lives in this land now.